try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world over, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you find the Lord. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could attain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here will be in vain. There'll come a time when death shall call you. Riches cannot help you then. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Thank you, Romana. I think that today, in the world we're living in today, there are people that are looking for something to fill the need, the satisfying that they desire. But there's only one thing that can satisfy, and that is Jesus. Today I want to talk about redemption draws near. Redemption draws near. Signs of the time point to the soon coming of Jesus. This is not a time for us to ignore these signs or to live in fear. As many people are saying, what is happening? What is going on? We wonder why, when it seems that the pestilence, the things that are going on seem to be kind of leveling, and then all of a sudden they spike. They say, what is going on? And they are living in fear. But it is a time for us to draw closer to Jesus, closer than we have ever been before. I'm thinking of a story that when my husband and I, when the children were little, we took a trip to the Grand Canyon. And Joshua and Vincent are quite different in their approach to things. And Vincent probably was about 5 years old, Joshua a couple of years younger. And so as we came to the Grand Canyon, my husband was encouraging, we're going to go up here. Let's go up to the fence and we'll look to see the canyon. And Vincent, he just fell on his face and he clawed the ground. And he said, no, no, I'm not going close. I'm not going, no. And my husband and I were encouraging him. And we got so focused on Vincent saying, I'm not going, I'm too afraid, that we didn't pay attention. And Joshua was up at the fence and he was climbing over the fence. And my heart almost jumped out of my chest, and my husband ran. He said, son, or he had no fear. So there is a place where we have to have a balance. We have to understand what is the danger that lies ahead. How do we deal with that danger? Vincent was afraid to even look at it, and he was hiding his face, and Joshua was jumping over saying, well, I could get as close here and look down in there. Do you even remember that, Joshua? Well, we remember it very well, and Ramona remembers it. So sometimes we say, well, I don't even want to know what's going on in the world today, and I've done quite a bit of reading, and I don't know how adequately I can share with you some of the things that I found, but I'm going to try to explain to you. And it's not because I want to put fear into your hearts about it, but Jesus said that when the disciples asked him, how do we know that the end is coming? He told them, look for these signs. So if we ignore it and we say, well, I'm not going to pay any attention, then I think we have a problem. But in Ezekiel, the third chapter, verse 18, he said, when God said to Ezekiel, he said, when I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I'll hold you accountable for their blood. We have a responsibility to share the gospel to the world. When they are in sin, they have no hope. We have a responsibility. And if we shirk that, if we don't tell them, and it's like saying, well, I know that you're going on this particular road, and I know that there is a precipice, and it will drop off. And you say, well, I'm not going to give them the fear of saying you're going to drop off that precipice. I don't want to alarm them. Well, what are you going to do? Let them die? Are you going to let them come to their end? And so we have to look at the signs of the time and say, do I need to pay attention to this? I say that we do. We look at the condition of mankind today in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 through 5. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. And he's talking about the condition of the individual. He said people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. We see all of this happening, and we kind of ignore it. We say, well, you know, it's just a culture today. But is it a sign that we are approaching end times? He said they're without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We fall, many of us, into that category. Maybe not all categories, but this is what is going on in the world today. They're having a form of godliness, but with denying its power. He said, don't have any association with these people. Does that mean that we snub them? No. It means that we do not participate in this type of activity. In 2 Thessalonians, it talks about the condition of the world. The second chapter. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. We see that in our day, today. It is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. Who is that one who holds back the what's going to come? The Holy Spirit. And when he's taken out of the way, then the lawless one will be revealed. We don't want to be here, and I don't plan to be, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So we know that we are facing the time when we need to look for the coming of Jesus. In Luke, the 21st chapter, he talks about wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilence. He said, when you hear of these things, do not be frightened. A lot of people are frightened today. We're hearing about all of them. Pestilence, we're hearing about earthquakes and famines, all these things that are happening. He said, don't be frightened, but he says these things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. That's the beginning of this, the end time. And he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and you know this, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, famines, pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. He said, you'll be betrayed even by parents in families now because of discrepancy or decisions that people make, even regarding the vaccine. There's a lot of hostility. And he says, you're going to be betrayed by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Now, we have not seen that so much in our nation, but we've seen it all over the world, all over the world. Because anybody who decides that they're going to take a stand for Christ or for Christianity, they're put to death. And everyone will hate you because of me. Not a hair, but he says, not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. We're going to win eternal life if we stand firm for Christ. And so when we hear about all of these things, he said, these things must come, must happen, but the end is still to come. And he goes on in Matthew and says that again, rehearses that again. He says, these are the beginning of birth pangs. And so because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. We have seen the love of many growing cold. I am not a person that believes that animals should ever be hurt. And I love animals. I don't necessarily want them in my lap. But I don't want to see anybody hurt an animal. I don't want to see it go hungry. I don't want to see anything happen. But we live in a society today that is unconcerned about humanity. Babies, we can slaughter them. We can get rid of them. And there seems to me no concern. This is my privilege, my right. I can kill this child clear up to the time of birth. There's something wrong, and it is displeasing to God. I look at our nation, and I consider the great price paid for our freedoms, and I ask the question, you know, there are many men who have died and women who have given their lives for our freedoms. But I ask this question, is America the strong Western power it once was? Or has it become a second-rate power? We are dismantling our war machines and laying off soldiers. We've been militarily destroyed. We're softening our strong national political identity and agenda for a place in the, quote, new world order. A one-world government. Through crime, AIDS, drugs, alcohol, abortion, and the demise of the family, we continue to deteriorate. So I ask, is America now the number one debtor nation in the world? Some people say we are, and I question, I wonder, are we the one that owes the most money? And we're financially desperate and becoming more so. America has become politically entangled with the Antichrist system. The New World Order refers to the emergence of a totalitarian one-world government. It means lowering the national freedom for the freedom or the desire of the international. We are controlled. We're on the verge of being controlled by an international committee. At the Great Reset Conference, and this is something that I've don't know a lot about, but they're talking about the Great Reset. At this conference in 2020, members of the world's elite met at the World Economic Forum and launched the Great Reset Initiative to transform the world economy. Klaus Schwab, who is the leader, the founder and executive director of the forum, wrote, quote, every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism, unquote. This calls for a cashless society where there is no property ownership. This is what they're working for. No one owns anything. We are told where we live, and we don't use money, and this is already set in motion. Has America and the world bowed the knee to Babylon? Babylon is not necessarily a nation, it is a system. In Revelation 18, verses 3 through 5, he says, "For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her." The kings, the leaders of all of the earth, are deciding to bow down to this system. "And the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes.'" God is calling us as the church, do not participate in these things. There may come a time that they'll be forced. I believe that the church will be taken out before that great, terrible time. But does Babylon control technology, money, and freedoms? Well, when liberty is taken, it cannot be retrieved. It cannot be bought back. When you give up your liberty, you cannot get it back. Our nation has used the expression, "We will build back better." You've heard that. You've read some of the books that have been written. They say, we're going to build that back better, stronger. That doesn't work that way. There's no such thing as build back better. When it is demolished, when it's destroyed, we cannot retrieve it. In Luke, the 21st chapter, the disciples ask, question Jesus about the signs of the end. They ask him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, say, 'I am he,' and the time has come for to draw near. Therefore," he says, "do not go after them." There are many people that want you to believe that they have the mind of God. I talked to a young lady not too long ago that was telling us about how that her father had decided that he was the voice of God. I understand that God gives the man, the husband, the father in the home, the power, the authority, and the covering for the family. But she said he was the voice of God, and what he wanted me to do, I could not submit and do. So there are many people that says, when you hear of wars and commotions, when you hear about all these things, the people who say, "I'm the one, listen to me," don't be terrified. These things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. But we are on the brink of this happening in our lives, in this nation. This nation seems like every day we hear one more thing that makes our hearts cry, "Oh God, my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my family, I pray that they will be saved." And then he talked about the nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He said that people will hate you for my name's sake. Do you know that probably the most persecuted group is today are Christians? They want nothing. The world says, we don't want anything to do with Christianity. We don't want to hear about it. But he says in Luke, the 21st chapter, there are going to be signs in the sun and the moon and stars and the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring. God's creation is crying out. God is the God that created us. He's the one that puts this in motion, and they're crying out. And there are men's hearts are failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. I talk to people every day that are scared nearly to death about what is happening in our world today. How will we be able to afford the mortgage payment on our home? What do I do? Because I cannot surrender to the dictates and what the government is requiring, and yet I cannot make my house payment or I cannot support my family. But he says in 1 Thessalonians, or he said there in Luke, he said in the 28th verse, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." I titled the message, Your Redemption is Near. Our redemption is near. What is that redemption? We were created not to live in this fleshly body forever, not to live on this earth forever, eternally. God knew that man was becoming wicked and more wicked. We've seen it over and over. And that's what's happened today. He says, but in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You've lost some of your family, every one of us have. And I want you to know, they're going to rise to meet Jesus when he comes, even before we. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, comfort one another with these words. We need to understand, we do not look at the situation that is facing us. I'm not saying we ignore it and that we just go along with it and participate with everything. I'm saying don't let fear grip your hearts and destroy your spirit. He said, and then he said in Luke, the 17th chapter, Jesus was talking about it. He said, it's as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. I believe that Jesus is giving this example. This is telling us that God's wrath, it will not be poured out. Did I say there won't be suffering? There's suffering today. People are dying for the cause of Christ. But it's not because of the wrath of God. It is the sin and degradation of this nation and this, the world. But I believe that when that terrible time comes, Jesus is going to come and say, come up. And he's going to take us with him. And he says, on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. But it was after he left that it happened. And I believe as God takes his people, Jesus comes and takes his people, that then there will be terrible things that will happen. And then the Holy Spirit will be removed. Some people say, what am I going to do? My children or my family, my friends are not listening. They're not serving Jesus. They don't know. But if you continue to witness to them and tell them the word of God and plant that seed within them, during that great tribulation, there will be some who will lay down their lives if they know the truth. And so plant the seed, whether they accept it or not. Keep on telling them, and then during that time, and as much as we don't want to hear that they had to die, their heads were chopped off, we still will have that hope that they will have eternal life. And so he said, comfort each other with these words. And then in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said, love not the world. Don't get attached to the world. We can love things, we love certain things, but he said, don't get attached to this world because it's not our final home. It's not where we live. There are some people who've been booted out of their homes. They can't pay the mortgage. But he said, don't get attached to it. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you are attached to the world and you can't turn loose of that, There's something more important. That is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Like the song that Ramona sang, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. There are other things the world offers you, but it's nothing. It's like sawdust. It's worthless. He says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, those things have encompassed, they've taken over the attitude of the world. We see many people who have sold out for money, who've sold out for power and position. And once they had a stand that was, you know, a very positive and conservative stand, whether what political party, it doesn't matter. Once they believed in something, and now they have compromised because of pride of life or because of the lust of the eyes. He says the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. This world is only temporary, and it is not our final destination. There are some people that are going to places that, and I'm not being critical of that, but there are people that are moving and saying, I want to go to a place that is remote or where there are freedoms, more freedoms. How long do you think the freedoms will last there? They are going to be taken all over the world. We're going to lose freedom. And so I maybe you'll have it a little longer when you go someplace that's remote. I don't know. But safety isn't in running to a safer place or storing up supplies, but safety is in Jesus. It is in him alone. I remember the story that my husband used to tell, and you have heard me retell it, of the man that was interviewing for a job, a carriage driver. And he was to drive this carriage driven by horses along this trail, and it was very, very steep drop off. And he was interviewing, different ones would come, and the man says, look how close I can get. I mean, yeah, I'm a foot away. And they kept on, and finally there was one said, I can get the wheel and halfway off and still stay. I'm telling you, we do not want to be in that position. And then a man came along and he said, I don't know how close I can get to the edge, but I stay as far away as I can. I want to stay as far away from the world and the things that would tear us down. I don't want any part of that. I want to be close to Jesus because he is the only security. He is our hope in a hopeless situation today. If you're watching this telecast today, I trust that you will make Jesus the Lord of your life. Because if you have not made him Lord of your life, we are going to face one day the judgment. We will all stand before him, and we will bow and recognize that he is the Lord. Jesus is all he said that he was. He is the Son of God. He's nothing less. And until you acknowledge that he is that and receive him as your Lord and Savior, you have no future in eternity but a future of damnation and of hell. So I encourage you today to make the decision to follow Jesus. He is the only way. I trust that you will make that decision. As we pray together, will you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life to redeem me. I thank you that you paid the penalty for my sins. I thank you that there is no condemnation when you have taken that in your body. You became sin for me that I could be your righteousness. And so I receive you now as Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life, and I accept you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer and you meant it from your hearts, Jesus will be there for you, and he will. He didn't say that you'll never have trials or tribulations, but when you go across the rocks and the valleys of life, he will be with you, and you have a guide. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a blessed week. Okay. I think that we had talked about today that we were going to give an opportunity to anybody who wanted to become a member of the church. And I've never been a person that tries to push membership, except the thing that it says to me is I commit myself to